I'm glad a lot of things went wrong with other things today. Come and talk to me afterwards about what went wrong with what's happening now. The pastor is doing a series on Christian disciplines and has asked me to speak about prayer. A week from Monday, I will be going to summer camp for 3 weeks, working with special needs adults with Jonathan Lorenzen. Some of you know who he is. And I'll be speaking about prayer, focusing on the Lord's Prayer and a few other scriptures, and teaching the campers how to pray. I will talk to them about God our Father, God's holy name, like we were singing about this morning, the kingdom of God, daily bread, praising and thanking God, forgiving, confessing, and temptation. Prayer is essentially having a conversation with God. Many people worry about praying correctly. I don't believe we should be overly concerned about this. I believe God prefers we speak to him rather than remain silent, and he is very gracious and forgiving, even if we were to mess up on our prayer a little bit. However, the Bible does provide significant guidance on how not to pray. Just before Jesus taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, he instructed them on a few things to avoid while praying. Various scriptures throughout the Bible provide guidance on how not to pray, and even reasons our prayers may go unanswered. My purpose this morning is not to frighten you. As I said, God desires you to talk to him, even if you don't do it perfectly. So don't be overly anxious about anything I'm going to say, but use it as a tool to improve your prayers. I have brought someone to help me with this message, someone who is an expert on doing things the wrong way. Me not sure that's a compliment. We are discussing how not to pray, Harry. Let's start with what Jesus said in Matthew 6. Jesus uses the Lord's Prayer to tell us how to pray, but in the verses preceding the Lord's Prayer, he highlights how not to pray. The first thing he says is avoid long, repetitive prayers. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. We're to avoid asking for the same things repeatedly, because God knows our needs and wants even before we ask. In a later verse, God does encourage us to ask, but asking once is enough. Our prayers don't need to be long. God won't hear us better if we use as many words. He wants us to pray from our hearts. Prayer should be simple and to the point. Harry will show you how not to pray.
Oh Lord, me really want a pizza. Big family size pizza with pepperoni and sausage and ham and bacon and tons of mushy cheese. If you gives me a pizza, me would be the happiest monster in the whole world. If you gives me a pizza, me would clean my room. Me would be good for at least 1 hour. Please, please, Lord, give me a pizza. You know me really, really, really wants a pizza. Me dying for a pizza. Please, please, please. Please, please, with onions on top. Lord, did you hear me? I want a pizza.
That's enough, Harry. I think they got the point.
But me really want a pizza.
Well, you shouldn't ask God for a pizza anyway.
Why not?
Because God isn't a vending machine. I'll explain more about that later. Let's see what else Jesus said. Jesus said, don't pray to impress others. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets that they may be seen by men. Well, we don't have a problem with that in this church, believe me. Now, you're not supposed to be noticing this when we're doing communion because you're all, of course, sitting in your seats preparing yourself for communion. But when we men get called up, we kind of jostle to see who can go on the outside. Because we know that the pastor calls on those two on the inside to pray. So it's sort of like, you go here. No, you go here. And so we have the opposite problem most of us don't want to pray in public, but the Pharisees, the religious elite, made prayer a performance, putting on a show for others to see. And God was not impressed with that. You can pray without thinking of God, but he doesn't hear prayers like that. Imagine the Pharisees praying loud and long in the temple, trying to impress the people.
Me can't do this one.
Well, I'm not asking you to. I'm going to do it.
Oh, thou immeasurable, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipotent, transcendent God who createth the expanse and encompasseth and sustaineth the universe, hearest thou our supplications.
How was that? Jesus told us that if we're prone to praying to impress, that we should go pray quietly in our prayer closet. Then it would be only us and God, no one to impress. Do not use prayer as an opportunity to boast. Some people use prayer to brag about what they've done for the Lord. Some use it as an opportunity to gossip about others. These are not the right ways to pray. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like that tax collector over there. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt himself will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Harry, show them how not to pray.
God, me thank you that me not like other monsters who pick on people and scare people. Me not like those monsters who don't pray or go to church. Me not like those monsters who don't go to Sunday school or read the Bible. Me thank you for making me not like them other monsters and for blessing me.
The Pharisees acted as if God was lucky to have them as followers. They did not humble themselves before God, as Pastor has been teaching us to do. The tax collector who humbled himself was more acceptable to God than the Pharisee who boasted and looked down on others. Some of you will find this next section familiar, but I don't think you learned your lesson the first time. This isn't in the Bible, but it violates a principle laid out in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Don't limit God. Harry will demonstrate.
Lord, me thanks you for just doing so much for me. Lord, me just wants you to heal Sally and just make her throat feel better and just be with us today and just guide us and help us just have a good life.
The reason we don't want to use just in our prayers is that it limits God. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So it says that God will do immeasurably more than what he asked, not just what we asked. So we shouldn't be asking God to do just what we want. We should ask God to do immeasurably more. And even imagine, we don't just want God to heal someone. We want him to prosper the person, guide his or her life, provide opportunities for service, help him or her to live a godly life, etc., etc., etc. We want God to do everything possible for that person we're praying for. Like this,
Lord, me wants to thank you for doing so much for us. Lord, me wants you to do immeasurably more than heal Sally and make her throat feel better. And be with us today and guide us and help us have a good life, even better than we could ask or imagine.
The Bible not only instructs us on how not to pray, but tells why some of our prayers will not be answered.
That not fair if God not answer prayer.
It is fair. God tells us what not to do. If we do what is right, he will answer.
Well, why he not answer then?
Well, we could have wrong motives. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures, James 4:3. To avoid wrong motives, consider whether or not the request is selfish. For example, Lord, please give me a Ferrari. Or asking for pizza are selfish. We must ask according to God's will and not our own. What is God's will? Well, the Bible has much to say about that. The more we read the Bible, we'll know more about God's will. We should also pray about God's will, and the Holy Spirit can also help us know what God wants us to do.
So this one praying about praying for pizza, huh?
That's right, Harry. The next reason we might not have our prayers answered is because of unconfessed sin. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have been hidden, have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Isaiah 59, 2. Now, you might have a question about that.
Yeah, what if we don't know what we've done wrong?
Well, I think God only expects us to confess the sins we know about, but we can ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any we might not know about and confess them. James tells us that if we have confessed our sins, that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. James 5, 16. Another reason our prayers might not be answered is pride. Pride is the original sin. Adam and Eve thought that they could be like God. That's what the devil tried to tempt them to do. The devil himself fell from heaven because he was proud and wanted to take over God's position. He thought he knew better than God. Now, of course, I'm very good at humility, and I can prove it. Anybody here old enough to remember when John Hernew was the vice principal at Prairie? Okay, you were there during that time, Grace? Okay, so at the end of the year, John Hernew gave out character awards to all the teachers. And he gave me one that said, humility. And it had a nice frame on it. Now, some of you may remember that hanging up the next year in my classroom.
Methinks you should have lost the award for hanging it up.
Well, yes, that is quite possible. But pride can get in the way of answered prayer. If we think we know more than God, God is not going to do what we ask of him. The next one is doubt. The scripture for that is James 1:7. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. If you're being blown and tossed by the wind and you're not sure whether God can do it or not, or whether he will do it or not, or if you're just asking and not expecting anything, sometimes that can get in the way of prayer. When the people of Jesus' hometown were, when he was there, he wasn't able to do very many miracles with them because they didn't have faith. They didn't believe in him. They didn't believe in who he was or what he could do. On the other hand, when the 10 lepers came to cleanse Jesus and the one came back, he said to that one leper, your faith has healed you. When the woman touched the edge of his garment, he said to her, your faith has healed you. So doubt hinders prayer, but faith helps.
Me hungry, you done soon?
I'm almost there. You know what happens when a preacher says in conclusion? Absolutely nothing.
Me doubt that you're almost done. Me go to sleep now.
Well, have faith, Harry. Bzzz. Okay, sweet dreams. The next one kind of surprised me. I didn't know this one. I just found it while I was doing my research. But in 1 Peter 3:7, Peter shows us that if we have marital discord, our prayers will be hindered. Peter is particularly addressing the fact that husbands are to honor their wives. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. And then hear this, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So the implication is, if we're not honoring our wives, if we have discord in the family, then our prayers are going to be hindered. So men, love and honor your wives. Not only will your prayers be more effective, but your overall satisfaction in life will increase drastically. And wives, I'm sure the reverse is true as well, even though the Bible doesn't come out and say it. The next one reason is it might not be the right time. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Just because we haven't received an answer to prayer doesn't mean it's a no. Sometimes it's a not yet. It's similar to children really wanting to learn how to drive a car. But the answer is a hard no until they're old enough, unless they're a farmer, of course. Parents want them to have independence and eventually enjoy things like driving, but it would be irresponsible to let them drive now. Similarly, we need to trust that God knows what's best for us in the given moment and that his timing is always perfect. The main reason that our prayers go unanswered is that we never asked. You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Probably the main reason for unanswered prayers is we simply don't ask. Our Heavenly Father loves to answer our prayers and generously gives good gifts to us. When we approach him with our requests, we honor him by acknowledging his ability to do what only he can do. Likewise, parents love their children and seek the best for them. How much more, Jesus said, will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask of him? Perhaps you're questioning why you feel adrift in life, unsure of God's will. Consider this. Have you prayed about it? You have not because you ask not. Why is it I have this illness? I've gone to the doctors and no one has helped me. Have you prayed about it? Maybe you have not because you ask not. Why is it that I have this financial problem and I can't seem to get on top of it? I have tried everything. Have you actually prayed about it? I'm not saying that God will always heal you, always give you the money you need, always prosper you. That's not what he is. He's not a vending machine. But I say there's a place for asking the Lord to provide for our needs. The first thing we should do is pray about it. Prayer is not about changing God, but allowing God to change us. We are not informing God because he already knows about us, our actions, our words, our thoughts. Prayer invites God into our lives to share our challenges. Prayer enhances our relationship with God. We draw nearer to God as we talk to him, which is why we should pray. The Lord's Prayer models how to pray. It reminds us if we have needs, face challenges, and seek answers from our awesome God who's done wonderful things for us, we need to pray. Prayer is essentially talking to God. And he definitely wants to hear from us. So let's talk to God. Dear God and Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're there waiting to listen to us, to hear our problems, waiting to give us good gifts, waiting for our requests, hearing our prayers for others, and desiring just to be involved in our lives. I pray that you will take care of us and do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.